The Journey Continues with Morgan Budden is brought to you on CFNR in partnership with the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, I'm Morgan Budden with The Journey Continues, highlighting local stories that matter to you. Following a funding announcement for Prince Rupert, Premier David Eby talked about finding a sustainable financial solution for the city without removing the port tax cap. Originally introduced as temporary legislation in 2004 to promote port investment, the Provincial Ports Property Tax Act became permanent in 2014. With a campaign to get rid of the tax cap started in September, Premier Eby had this to say about working towards a solution.
Specific to the port tax cap, the amount of that is about $1.5 million a year to Prince Rupert if the cap weren't there, which is significant for Prince Rupert, absolutely, that consistent funding. But at the end of the day, it is a fraction of what's needed. If it sends a message around competitiveness in relation to port that we don't want to send, the juice might not be worth the squeeze. So that's why we're around the table together, is to find ways to ensure that there's actually adequate funding for Prince Rupert, that we maintain a competitive port environment so the port continues to provide good family-supporting jobs and continues to expand. There are issues around how depreciation is handled at the port, all kinds of things for us to talk about. But at the end of the day, the port contributes a lot to British Columbia and Canada, and how do we get some of those benefits to flow back to Prince Rupert in the most constructive way? And that's what we're having a conversation about. And the $1.5 million a year from the tax cap is not going to fund, I mean, in 100 years, it will fund what's needed in infrastructure. So we have to move a lot faster than that. I believe that by working with the port, by working with the Longshore Union, by working with the city of Prince Rupert, and the province, and ultimately I hope the federal government is part of this discussion as well, we're going to be able to find a sustainable finance mechanism for Prince Rupert, for Terrace, for other communities that are in this situation of having major projects, major revenue-generating economic growth projects that are keeping people employed and supporting communities, as well as seeing benefits from that. And I don't want to prescribe what that's going to look like. We're going to go to the table with an open mind. We're going to have that conversation. But we see the problem. We all see the problem. Everyone agrees what the problem is. We're going to work together to find that solution.
Blair Mirow, a previous city councillor for Prince Rupert and head of the Scrap the Tax Cap campaign, talked about why he thinks both the cap and compensation grant is outdated.
The way that it works is the province gives compensation grant to the city to make up for their tax loss. But that compensation grant is calculated on the $2004 from when they brought in the port tax cap. If port terminals make investments, their assessed value goes up. But if they don't make new investments, then over time their assessed value goes down. And that grant has not been able to keep up with depreciation. So as a result, it was basically an immediate impact. And I think that's why it was designed as temporary legislation, knowing it's a temporary incentive to try to get ports to put more money into their terminals. By making it permanent, essentially what they've created, the unintended consequence, is a perpetual annual situation where port terminals are not investing more money, they're paying less taxes because the cap is on the mill rate and not on the actual dollars of taxes that they pay.
Mira went on to explain that although the petition was only just completed, the movement has been happening for some time.
I think one of the main questions or bits of feedback that I've gotten personally with my involvement is, why not do this, you know, 8 years ago when I first got elected to council? And the short answer is we really tried. It was behind the scenes. We didn't do anything in public. We met with Premier. We met with Ministry of Finance. Keeping in mind, we've seen three governments in the last few years. Through all those changes in government, there was a lot of behind the scenes work and trying to articulate the city's position. Because it's so complex and nuanced, and it really disproportionately impacts Prince Rupert, I get why the province wouldn't want to have the same sense of urgency unless it was affecting all of the Lower Mainland in the same way. I think what it really took was thousands of citizens raising their collective voices together to show that there is a sense of urgency here and it's got to get solved in one way, shape, or form.
Mirow explained that even though he remains optimistic about the situation, there will remain a push to change the legislation.
I didn't take it as an unequivocal no. What I understood from Premier Eby's comments was that he's working with all stakeholders that are affected. You've got the Port Authority, you've got the Longshoremen Union, you've got the City of Prince Rupert. There's a whole bunch of different perspectives on this issue. It's very complex and nuanced. It's not as simple as the stroke of a pen, and I think all of us can appreciate that it's not as simple as it may seem from the outside. So I still am quite optimistic that a jointly negotiated solution can happen. I don't think people have reason to worry that this issue will fall by the wayside necessarily. As far as the next steps for our group, I think will be basically to to watch and see what the impact is each year on the city's budget. How much do taxes have to continue to go up as a result, a direct result of the port tax cap? As long as we can keep just putting those numbers in the public domain and explaining to people a very complex issue in a simple way, most people come to see that whether or not they agree on what the solution is, everyone can at least acknowledge that there is a problem that requires a fix.
Those comments all came following a $65 million funding announcement toward phase one of the city's replacement of their water distribution system. This story is brought to you in partnership with the Local Journalism Initiative of Canada. You can see the full story at canada-info.ca.